Acts chapter 3 this evening, and just the first 10 verses. Acts 3, and we'll begin with verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the people. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Just so far this evening. In chapter 2, verse 43, in the formative years of God's church, we read that many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. The ability to do these miraculous wonders and signs were given specifically to the apostles, those that had walked with Jesus and been taught by Jesus and been discipled by Jesus. They were given the special authority in order to affirm the authority that God had given to them to speak his truth, and that truth, namely the truth about Jesus Christ and what he had done for us. But it was also given to them to show people physically and through signs and wonders what the good news could do for them spiritually within their hearts. For example, spiritually, we know that faith in the good news of Jesus Christ proclaims and brings healing to our sick hearts, raises that dead heart towards Christ, towards God. The good news, faith in the good news, brings that heart that has been enslaved to sin and enslaved to being rebellious towards God, frees that heart to being obedient and servants of God. The apostles were able to physically heal the sick, physically raise the dead, physically drive out demons, as a testimony to what the good news had power to do spiritually. So the apostles, these men appointed with the special authority, were performing these signs and these wonders in the early stages of God's church. Here in chapter 3, Luke records for us one of those signs and wonders that the apostle Peter and John had the privilege of performing. As we read, it is the account of a crippled man miraculously healed and given the full use of his limbs for the very first time. This miracle is clearly said to be done in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, verse 6 tells us, which would testify to the people who heard, and obviously to the man that received this miracle, that healing would come in the name of Jesus Christ. And if we read on in Acts chapter 3, we will find Peter goes on, when there's wonder and amazement at what had just happened, to again explain the physical healing of this man to what it represents in their own lives and in their own ways, that Christ has the power in his name to heal the wicked and the crippled heart. That power that restores health and vitality to a man crippled from birth is the same power found in Jesus that restores health and vitality to our crippled hearts, which we also had from birth as we were rebellious to God from then. And so there's a message in the miraculous signs and wonders that the apostles did for those who had hearts that were crippled because of their rebellion against God, that in the name of Jesus Christ, there's healing power to restore us in a right relationship with God. But I want you to notice this evening that Luke places this account of the signs and wonders that the apostles did just after the establishment of God's church. I believe this account is not just intended for those outside of the church, but because of its placement here, it's also speaking to those inside of the church, those who've had their hearts, their crippled hearts healed. There's a message for those who have been added to the church of God ever since, the family of God, namely followers of Christ, namely you and I, if we're a follower of Christ here this evening. And if you notice in chapter 2, it ends with these words, "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." The Lord added, not the church, not the people in the church, but the Lord added to his church daily those who were being saved. Now, theologically, this is correct. God is the one that turns our hearts from being hard and rebellious towards God and makes our hearts soft and receptive of God's good news, and we turn and willingly submit to what he wants for our lives. God has the power to do that, not us. Which might leave his church asking this question, well then, where does that, what responsibility does the church have today in witnessing? If you know the book of Acts well, you know in Acts chapter 1, the church or God's people are given power through the Holy Spirit to be Jesus' witnesses, those who declare the truth about Jesus. But if God adds to his church, what is the church's responsibility in this whole process of God adding to his church those who are being saved? Well, there is a danger if we just end it at the end of chapter 2 with God adding to his church daily and think that the responsibility is with God and we have no place in God adding to his church. The danger was clearly seen in God's people, the Jewish people, Israel, at this time as well. They thought that, well, if God had the responsibility of adding to his church, then they just had to worry about themselves, worry about their own relationship with God. They didn't have to care about those outside of God's people. If you were not part of God's people, they couldn't care less about you or where you stood with God. They had no interest about your spiritual well-being or the spiritual well-being of the nations around them. It's God's responsibility, they would say. They would just worry about keeping to their own traditional views and legalistic approach to being right with God. In fact, this is seen more clearly in their own treatment, or the treatment of their own people in their day, who were not right with God. It was thought by the Jews of this day that if you were sick or disabled, that God was against you and punishing you and your family for sin and rejecting God because of what you have done in the past. Jesus' Jewish disciples thought like this as well. As we read in John chapter 9, they were traveling with Jesus one day and they came across a man born blind. And they said to Jesus, "Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And if God had rejected you, then you were rejected or barred, it almost seems, from God's people and having a relationship with God. You were not allowed to enter into the temple with the rest of God's people to enjoy a relationship with God. As we read here about this lame man, this crippled man, who found himself outside the temple of God, outside the place where people would enjoy intimate relationship with God. This man who was part of God's people was outside because he was crippled. He was rejected by society, unable to worship or to work in some way. Instead, all he had to do was do the humiliating thing of begging for his survival. Acts chapter 4 and verse 22 tells us that this lame man, this crippled man, was 40 years old. 40 years old. He was not a young man, he was a middle-aged man. For at least 25 years, approximately, this man's life had been about begging from people to survive. For 25 years, this man had watched people walk past him as they went to enter into worship at the temple place, where they went to enjoy relationship with God, and probably not even given him a second thought as they walked past him. 25 years, this man saw people come to the gate beautiful and enter into a relationship with God, and yet not even consider him, this man who is unable, it almost seemed, by them to enjoy a relationship with God. Unable to see this gate, this beautiful gate, which was one of the gates that was decorated in order for people to enter into the glorious time of worshiping God. Unable to see that he saw this gate as far from being beautiful, because it constantly reminded him that he was an outsider. He was rejected by God's people, almost them giving him the feeling that God had rejected him as well. To him, that gate was far from beautiful. Which makes me think, I wonder how many people outside of God's church today feel like this crippled man. That the church is hardly a beautiful thing. Hardly a beautiful gate into coming and enjoying a relationship with God. And when I'm not talking about the church building, I'm talking about the church as God's people. The church to them is full of judgmental people, full of legalistic people, full of unfriendly separatists who have no concern for those who maybe deep down inside are desiring a relationship with God. Maybe they feel like this man, that the church acts as if God has rejected them as well. For the Christian, the church maybe is a beautiful thing. But are we, for those who are not part of the church, anything but beautiful because of our exclusivity? But all this changed this day, when Peter extended his right hand and helped this man to his feet in the name of Jesus Christ. All that changed when Peter and John took note of this person's cry for help. All this changed when Peter and John realized that they had something of more worth to give this man than silver and gold. All this changed when Peter and John understood that God's heart was for salvation to come to all people, especially those who have been marginalized by society, including the church. In John chapter 10, we read how Jesus taught Peter and John, taught his disciples, that he was the gate in which people would enter through to enjoy a relationship with God. And so all this changed when God, through His Spirit, helped Peter and John remember back to what Jesus said, that He was the true, beautiful gate in which people could enter through and enjoy a relationship with God. You see, when this crippled man asked for help that day, for any change or loose coins that the passers-by into the temple might have on them, Peter responds by doing something very different to what everybody else did. He asked this man to give him his full attention. Peter not only took notice of this man, but he wanted this man to take notice of himself as well. I'm sure this man had a little routine that he often used to say, probably hundreds of times while he was begging, as maybe we accustomed to beggars to do the same today as people walk past. Most of the beggars don't even look up, but they just say, "Please give us some money." This man probably was no different. He would cry and cry and cry for help. People would pass by and pass by, and he was hopeful that one or two would respond by dropping a few coins in his lap. But Peter didn't let this opportunity go by. Peter was very much intentionally wanting to engage with this man. And he wanted this man to take him seriously and to know his concern and his love for this man. You see, this isn't a shot in the dark kind of opportunity that Peter was going on here. I'll just put it out there and see what happens. No, Peter is really, really concerned about this man and is intentional about his witness to this man. And so he demands for this man to pay full attention, and he says to him, I have no silver and gold to give you today, but what I do have, I want to give to you. I have nothing that you want from me today, but what I do have, I want to give you today. I think this is a great principle that we ought to learn in our witnessing for Jesus as his church. It's this principle that Jesus does not expect us to give what we do not have. Jesus does not expect us to give what we do not have. All of us do have the gift of, or let me say, all of us don't have the gift of doing miraculous signs and wonders like the apostles. Most of us do not have the gift of evangelism. Most of us do not have the ability to debate or to persuade people in theological debates or arguments. Many of us might not have silver and gold to give. Many of us might not know what words to counsel people who find themselves in a situation where sin has destroyed their lives or their relationships with family. But Jesus is not expecting us to give what we do not have. What Jesus is expecting us to give is what we all do have as his people, as his followers. We all have a testimony about how Jesus has changed our lives, our situations. We all have been given a living hope in Jesus. We all have experienced his grace and blessings in our lives. We all have embraced Jesus' love for us, the unlovable. We all have experienced the power of the name of Jesus Christ, setting us free from the life of rebellion towards God and bringing us into a life that wants to obey God, wants to live the life that he wants us to live. We have all seen and experienced Jesus, the true beautiful gate that brings us into relationship with God. Peter used what Jesus had given him to show this man the beauty of Jesus. I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you today. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And it tells us that Peter extended his right hand and helped this man to his feet. And immediately his ankles were made strong, and this man who had never taken a step before in his life took one step, two steps, which suddenly broke out into a jump, and he started leaping and dancing and praising God. A miracle had happened in this crippled man's life because Peter and John showed this man the beauty of Jesus Christ, that beautiful gate that allows him to enter into relationship with God. I say that because we would expect this man who for 40 years had never taken a step or never been able to walk anywhere or run anywhere to immediately go back to his family and friends and show them what had happened to him that day. We would expect that. We'd probably want to do the same thing in our own lives if we had that experience. But listen to what Luke tells us this man did. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. Listen to this. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. This man who so desperately wanted to be in relationship with God, who was rejected by those who could enjoy relationship with God, now suddenly was able to, because he was shown the beauty of Jesus, the true beautiful gate. Friends, extending the right hand in the name of Jesus, showing people the beauty of Jesus Christ, might mean giving silver and gold. It might mean making yourself available in your busy schedule to hear someone's struggles, maybe to counsel them and to offer them some advice. It might mean helping people who are hurting. It might mean giving up some of your old clothes so those that are camping on a tennis court because of the fear of their lives might have a little bit of comfort and might see the beauty of Jesus in us. It might mean suffering for the good of others. Whatever it means for us tonight, our intention is to show Jesus and his beauty to them and provide the opportunity for them to be saved by God and to enjoy eternal life and eternal relationship with him. Friends, each and every one of us here tonight come into contact with many, many people every day. Many people that I will never have in my life the opportunity to speak to or to come into contact with. But you have that opportunity to show them the beauty of Jesus. They may think this because of their own crippled hearts, that the church is not a beautiful thing. They might think the church is not beautiful because maybe we have been responsible for showing them no interest or no concern before. Yes, Jesus has the power to change hearts and to add to his church. But he's given you and I the responsibility to show them the beauty of Jesus and the means in which they can enjoy a relationship with him. I guess that's why he's given us his Spirit, to empower us to be able to show the beauty of Jesus with those around us. I want you to know that Peter and John must have walked past that man numerous times on their way to worship Jesus. But on this day, they felt compelled to show this man the beauty of Jesus by extending their right hand to this man and helping him to his feet and welcoming him into relationship with God. Friends, we might not every day be pressed in this way to show someone the beauty of Jesus Christ, but if we ask Jesus to make our hearts sensitive to someone that he might want us to show that Jesus is the beautiful gate to a relationship with him, I'm sure we'll also enjoy the privilege that Peter and John had of bringing someone into the relationship with Jesus Christ, with God, through showing them the beauty of Jesus. God is not expecting us to save them. That's his responsibility. But he is expecting us to show them the beauty of what Jesus has done for us. I'm sure we all can take what we have been given in Jesus. Ask God to show us someone whom he would like us to show that beauty to. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, be sensitive and be prepared to share the beauty of Jesus with them. I'm sure we all have that desire, don't we, as God's church? And so the challenge for us this evening is, will you show the beauty of Jesus to those outside the church? Those who might just be longing for someone to show them what the real church is all about. If God's responsibility is to save people and to add to his church daily, then the church's responsibility is to show them the beauty of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.